Protests in Syria continue despite gruesome images of torture and attacks on protesters. The images are being smuggled out of the country by Syrian human rights groups. Reporter Sabri Benashour from station WAMU in Washington has been exploring who the members of these Syrian human rights groups are and how they operate.
On a screen in a downtown Washington, D.C. hotel ballroom, a man is cradling his dead son. He is anonymous, somewhere in Syria, and his message is being heard by a room full of Syrian human rights activists.
This guy wasn't carrying anything harmful in his hands, but he was hit by two shots. I went to help him, and they came and attacked me with sticks.
Individuals and groups inside Syria have been smuggling messages and videos to the outside world this way since before the current uprising there began. Ahed El-Hindi used to be one of them.
2003, 2004, when we start to get internet, when we start to have satellite channels, we're able to see other source of information. I start to have this kind of conscience more that the country is not the best in the world. The turning point was at the year of 2006, when eight of my friends were jailed simply for creating a secular group at the campus of Damascus University.
He started a group that documented and publicized abuses targeting students and young people. And soon, he himself was arrested, beaten, and kept in total darkness in a cell barely larger than his body for weeks.
I left and I never came back.
Now he works with cyberdissidents.org, surreptitiously connecting bloggers and dissidents inside Syria to the outside world. Human rights abuses inside Syria have been the norm for decades, but human rights advocacy inside Syria really got a jump start when Bashar al-Assad's father, Hafez al-Assad, died in 2000.
What is known today as Damascus Spring.
Louay Safi is a fellow at Georgetown University and chairman of the Syrian American Council. He says there was a real feeling that Syria would open up after Bashar al-Assad took over.
People had a lot of hope because he used very democratic language during his inaugural speech, and people took that to heart and started to engage in more open debate and demand more freedom and constitutional changes. But then after a year of allowing that to go on, then there was a crackdown and activists were jailed.
Prominent human rights activists are often former leftist opposition figures. Others are lawyers or economists, or like Radwan Ziada, scholars. He discovered what human rights were by reading about them. As the Damascus spring turned to winter, he continued documenting the excesses of the police state.
Most of the monitoring of the situation and advocacy were done inside Syria because this is the only way to have a dignity and freedom for our country in Syria. The human rights is not only something, a concept and in the books, it actually should be a reality on the ground.
Ziada and several other prominent activists and groups demanded more openness, earning another round of arrests. But in 2005, they really crossed a line. They demanded better relations between Syria and Lebanon at a time when Syria was being accused of assassinating former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. Ziada got off comparatively easy. Other colleagues remain in prison. By some accounts, the number of groups inside Syria shrunk from 9 to 2 after that, says Ahed El-Hindi.
Most of their work is kind of underground work. Like, they go to interview the abusers, the people who were abused, like, secretly. So it's still not a healthy environment.
Since January, the traditional rights groups have been supplemented by an explosion of individual activists, people with cell phones, students with Skype. The lawyers and intellectuals are still there, some in hiding right now, but they're getting help from a lot of other regular folks. Again, Louay Safi.
I see different culture there, like, to be honest with you. And this is a new culture. It is commitment to civil disobedience despite all the cost they are paying.
Human rights activism, it seems, has gone viral. For The World, I'm Sabri Benashour.